This is Mark Silvestri, and you are about to experience the Top Cow Chronology Project. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your host, Jace. In this episode, we're going to be covering Tomb Raider Journeys Issue 3. This book was put out in May 2002 by Top Cow. Obviously, it stars Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider. And for those of you not familiar with our podcast, what the Top Cow Chronology Project is, we are reading all the books in the Top Cow universe in chronological order. That's not a publishing order, that's a chronological order. So the very first issues we covered took place in ancient times, and we're going to move up through present day on into the future. So if you want to follow along, and you're wondering where you can find the chronology, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, click on the podcast page, you look off to the right, there's a Comic Vine logo that will take you to the Comic Vine website and the chronology itself, which was put together by a Comic Vine user by the name of Condor. So once again, we want to thank him for his hard work. I always like to tell our listeners where they can find the books we're covering, and a lot of times they're available digitally or in trade paperback form. Unfortunately, the Tomb Raider license is no longer held by Top Cow. It's now over at Dark Horse. So for that reason, these issues aren't available digitally. And this particular series, Tomb Raider Journeys, was never collected in a trade paperback form, at least not in English. So your best bet to find these issues is check at your local comic shop or at a show you're at. They're not very expensive issues. Also, you can look on eBay. On eBay right now, there are several issues of Tomb Raider Journeys number 3 for like $1.50, $1.45. There's a whole run for $30, free shipping. And what's really cool is a lot of these Tomb Raider Journeys books have covers by Adam Hughes. So, you know, he's a very well-regarded artist, very popular. So if you do pick up these books, they're going to hold some value just based on the Adam Hughes covers alone. So, and honestly, being able to find an Adam Hughes cover for like less than $2, it's a pretty good deal. Also, I want to mention before we get into this issue itself, the Humble Bundle that Top Cow has going on right now. If you're not familiar with Humble Bundle, go to humblebundle.com. And what it is, it's a digital bundle of comics. And in this case, it's a bunch of Top Cow comics. Well over $600 worth of comics, and you basically choose what you want to pay for them. And what's also really cool is the money that you pay, a big portion of it goes to charities that Top Cow has selected. And you can choose, you know, where your money goes. If it goes to one charity or another, split between the two. And the two charities that Top Cow chose were the Hero Initiative and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. And these are both organizations that help support comic creators who may be in some financial trouble, medical bills, legal bills, things like that. So it's definitely a worthy cause. And honestly, if you're a fan of Top Cow, you're a fan of the Top Cow Chronology Project, you just found the podcast and you're looking to pick up a lot of these issues, there absolutely is no cheaper way, no easier way to get a ton of the issues that we're going to cover in this chronology project. There simply isn't. I mean, it's like so many issues. Just for example, Witchblades Volume 1 through 8. That's the Witchblade Trade Paperbacks Volume 1 through 8. That's hundreds of issues. Now, if you were to go and buy these trade paperbacks, they're like at least $10 each, right? If you were to go buy the physical copies. Same thing if you go on Comixology and buy the trade paperbacks. They're like $7.99, I think, minimum. And you're going to be able to get all those issues plus so much more, a bunch of darkness trades. I believe there's a postal trade on there. Just tons and tons of stuff. Go to humblebundle.com and check it out. And there's no cheaper way. I mean, you know, you pay $15 to $25 and you're paying pennies for these issues. So, like I said, if you're a fan of Top Cow or you're just a fan of comics and you want to get a lot of value for your money, definitely go to humblebundle.com and check it out. I think it ends in a few days, so you definitely want to take advantage pretty soon. Okay, now onto the issue this episode. As I said, Tomb Raider Journeys issue 3. I'm going to go down the creative lineup. The writer is Fiona Kai Avery. Pencils by Drew Edward Johnson. We have a few inkers, including Rick Basadua, otherwise known as Ebaz, Patrick Blaine, Jose Guillen, Jay Leistein, and Oscar Lopez. And colors by Jonathan D. Smith. And as I said, the cover artist is Adam Hughes. May 2002 cover date. And let's go ahead and dive right into the issue. If we look at the front cover, it's got Lara Croft on the cover. She's kind of holding a torch aloft. And beautiful cover by Adam Hughes, you know, as we've come to expect. And what's really cool about the cover is Laura's partially in shadow. And as she's holding this torch, it's casting, you know, light back at her. But then the far side of her is in shadow. And Adam Hughes does a really good job of accurately portraying that. And it gives kind of a sense of mood right from the start. So we open up to the first page, and it's the Croft Estate. We see that Laura is practicing her archery. She has an instructor who's kind of guiding her along. And then we see some men show up, and they say that they are there to see her. And even though they don't have an appointment, it's very important. And the issue is titled Bullseye. So they retire inside, and the men work for a special archaeological trust and conservancy, and the Endowment for the Preservation of Authentic Sites. She says she's familiar with their organization. It's nonprofit and certified, very visible in the archaeological community. And they're not looking for a donation per se, but they are interested in help and hiring her, or interesting her in helping them solve a problem. So they have some land that they bid on, but they were outbid, and they want to protect the archaeological finds that are there, but the other parties that are interested only want to loot or bulldoze the site. So they're happy to turn it over to another interested buyer after it's been excavated properly. Basically, these sites, they believe, are the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the famous cities from the Bible that were destroyed by God. They don't have any actual evidence. That's why they want to go and excavate the sites. And so they've actually managed to secure one site, but the other city is owned by a private citizen who's just put it up for sale, and they're going to build condos on it. So they find out that the person buying it goes by the name of Mr. Kagan, and Laura said that she's never heard of him, but apparently he's got quite a fortune because they've gone top dollar for the land and they were outbid. So she says, give me 48 hours, gentlemen, and she'll get the property for them. So she heads to the library, does a bunch of studying, flies to the site, and she says she can't believe someone would be so stupid as to build condominiums here. And we see that it looks like it's maybe out in the desert somewhere. There's a lot of sand dunes, hilly terrain around. And then dug down in, we see this ancient city that's been unearthed. So the city is surrounded by chain link with barbed wire. Obviously, that's a little deterrent to Laura. She has a guide who helps her get into the city. And then once she finds what she's looking for, the place in the city that she's looking for, she tells the guide to leave, run away from here, and never come back. He says yes. She descends below the city. She knows she only has 48 hours. And she thinks it's very ironic what she's about to do. Because on any other given Tomb Raid, she'd never be that stupid, but tonight the rules are going to change. It's going to be risky, but it'll be worth it in the end. But she is worried that she didn't get to do as much research as she originally liked. So about 43 minutes, she finds herself just in the right place for a mission, and it should be just up here. And she in fact is in the right place. She finds the talisman of the sun god still perfectly intact. She pulls out her bow and arrow, and again she says normally she'd scrutinize this vault for traps, because believe me, it was too easy to get in here, which means there's one hell of a trap waiting for whoever wants a piece of the gold talisman off the ceiling. But again, she just doesn't have time. So she shoots an arrow with a rope attached through the talisman. She pulls it down, and as she's pulling, the floor basically falls out from beneath her. But she uses the rope that she has basically wrapped around the talisman. She kind of holds on, manages to swing to safety, yanks the talisman down, and then she hears some creaking and groaning, and we see that she's actually in a crypt, and all the skeletons start to come to life. So she grabs the talisman, she runs off, and barely manages to escape. So as the dawn breaks in the beautiful Valley of Gomorrah, the new day is filled with possibilities, and we see some men arrive in a helicopter, and they say, "Hello, Mr. Kagan." So obviously one of them is Mr. Kagan. He says, about the sale. Kagan replies, "What is it? Something wrong with my property or the funds?" And the seller says, "I have no idea what happened, Mr. Kagan." And they look down through the fence, and the whole entire city is infested with skeletons. Kagan says, "The deal's off. I'm not buying this place. Smith, come with me." He says, "Yes, sir." And then we see behind the men who were planning on selling the property, who are very distraught over Kagan backing out. We see that the men from the Archaeological Preservation Society and Laura show up. The seller asks if they still want this, and they said, "Very much. If you'll accept our payment and go with Mr. McFadden to fill out the paperwork, we'll have a transaction." He says, "All right." So the seller obviously is taking less money than Mr. Kagan was offering, but he just wants to be rid of it, especially now that the whole place is infested with skeletons, obviously. And so as they leave to go fill out the paperwork, one of the men from the Archaeological Society tells Laura they're far enough away now. She says, "All right." She takes the amulet that she took and tosses it back over the fence, and says, "If you return the sun amulet to its resting place, everything goes back tidy and proper just like that. The skeletons disintegrate." And the man from the Preservation Society says, "Thank you, Miss Croft. I don't know how you did it, and I don't want to know, but we got this land for an incredibly cheap deal." We turn the page, switches to Mr. Kagan, who's also doing some target practice with a bow and arrow. And his assistant Smith says, "Mr. Kagan, I'm terribly sorry. I know you weren't going to build condos there. I thought it was a great idea. Make people think you're doing one thing when you were after the sun amulet, not development. And I realize how much claiming the site would have meant to you." Kagan replies, "I'd like you to look up a Miss Laura Croft for me. I have a feeling we need to meet." So apparently Laura has a new enemy. And the issue ends with Kagan hitting a bullseye with his arrow. Interesting. A seemingly short story. You know, it was the full 24 pages, but it seemed very short. I guess not a lot really happened. Pretty straightforward. What I do like about it is this introduction of this Mr. Kagan character. It adds a subplot, which hopefully means reading issues going forward, there will be some plot threads that go through the issues, and they won't all just be one and done. We'll get kind of an overarching story arc, hopefully, which I feel can add some depth, because so far these stories have all been one and done, and there haven't really been much to them. They haven't really been that connected. As far as the artwork goes, the colors are well done. A lot of earth tones, and it helps to set the mood. The rendering itself from Drew Edward Johnson, I can already see improvement from the first couple issues. As I said, covering previous issues of Tomb Raider Journeys, not the clean rendering that I've come to know from Drew Edward, but this is early in his career. I will say that his storytelling from panel to panel and the layouts, again, very, very well done. Can't fault him for that. Also, the backgrounds are very well done. I really, really do like the layouts. I like how he chooses to do close-ups to kind of convey emotion. Just really top-notch storytelling from the layouts and the choices that he makes. So I can't fault him for that at all. As I said, just knowing his artwork now and how clean it is, it's not that I'm disappointed with this artwork, but I just know that he can do better and does do better these days. And it would be interesting to see him take another pass at some of these pages and see what different choices he would make and how much cleaner they would look. That being said, the art is still done well. And as I said, the layouts and the storytelling from panel to panel are just great. So definitely helps set the mood. And it's that mood is kind of a high adventure that you come to expect from a Tomb Raider comic, especially if you've played the video game. But as I said before, with these Tomb Raider Journeys books, a little bit of a product of their time, so not a lot of depth to the story. So as I said, hopefully with the introduction of this Mr. Kagan and some continuing subplots, it'll help add some depth to the story. Now, that's going to do it for this episode of the Top Cow Chronology Project. Thank you all for listening. If you want to get to know us better, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, read the About Us page there. You can check out episodes of our YouTube show there. You can see the sketch gallery. You can also listen to previous episodes of the podcast. They're all linked up there, both the Top Cow Chronology Project and the Comic Source Podcast. Also, one of our members, Manny, has a blog, A Family Man and His Comics. You can read about his thoughts on current comics that are coming out. We'd also love to hear from you. There's a Contact Us page where you can drop us a line, or you can email us directly at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Also, you can reach out to us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook. That's us. Or reach out on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. And I always try to keep everybody updated with convention appearances and things of that nature when I'm going to be at certain events and things like that. You can always find me wearing my Comic Source shirt. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time when we cover Tomb Raider Journeys number 4.